Tantar Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Needing to Know for Sure, a CBT-based guide to overcoming compulsive checking and reassurance seeking by Martin N. Seif, Ph.D., and Sally M. Winston, PsyD. Narrated by Holly Adams. Publisher's note: this audiobook refers to visual elements included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Introduction. Benjamin Franklin observed, "In this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. While we can all agree about death, there are some places without taxes. But the question remains, what can you actually be certain of? Can you know for sure that some catastrophic accident or illness will not ruin your life in the next day? Can you know for sure that you have not at some time overlooked some careless mistake that will cause harm? Can you absolutely guarantee that you will love your partner forever? Can you know for sure that all of what you take for granted is real and not a dream or an elaborate projected reality from a futuristic computer network? Actually, no. And while we all want to do the right thing, how can you know for sure that your actions and feelings and motivations are moral, proper, or as they should be? In short, you can't. We can't guarantee certainty about anything, really. So most of us just carry on as if we could, allowing the illusion of certainty to prevail. Some of us, however, become haunted by needing to know for sure. Since you are listening to this book, you know what we're talking about. You become acutely aware of wanting to know something specific for sure, and develop rituals to try to nail down certainty. You check things, ask others for feedback or opinions, and try to reassure yourself over and over, which helps for a while, but never lasts. You might become hypervigilant about something. Perhaps an unwanted thought crosses your mind and you suddenly feel compelled to prove it is not a warning, an urge, or a wish. Or a memory begins to feel fuzzy and you have to go back and check. Or a doubt arises and it feels compelling. You can't let it go. You become hooked on the checking and reassurance. This book is about how to give up reliance on compulsive checking and reassurance seeking, the obvious and the not-so-obvious ways we attempt and fail to satisfy the need to know for sure. If you tend to automatically imagine the worst possible consequence and then spend an inordinate amount of time and effort trying to convince yourself that it won't happen, or mull over your past actions, wondering whether your motives were pure enough, while scrutinizing your thoughts, behaviors, and attitudes to make sure you did the right thing or did it for the right reason, then uncertainty has become your enemy. The reassurance you get from others or from the things you say to yourself, "That will never happen," "I'm sure I took care of that," "That didn't happen that way," or "It won't be so bad," makes that feeling of dread go away for a bit, and you experience a moment of relative calmness. But only a moment. Because then that sense of "am I sure" roars back. Your anxiety, guilt, and distress spike. You have new urgent questions and look for further reassurance. The cycle repeats. You are stuck. We call this compulsive, driven, unrelenting need for reassurance the reassurance trap. Are you caught in the reassurance trap? Do you find yourself preoccupied with situations like these? Are you unable to get yourself to stop checking and reassuring? Are there areas or issues in your life where you need to know for sure? Does uncertainty about these things drive you crazy? Do doubts take over? Are you unable to accept or overlook them? Do you find yourself overthinking something that did happen or could have happened or might happen? Do you seek empty reassurance? Empty reassurance is reassurance from someone who doesn't know the answer any better than you do. Do you find yourself checking repeatedly on the internet with friends and family, at work, and with authorities? Are you continually monitoring your body to make sure you are okay? Are you unable to stop constantly checking your email, texts, phone? Do you find it nearly impossible to stop checking locks, alarms, or appliances? Do you engage in constant self-talk to counter something you are worried about? Do you ask others for their opinions about something over and over? Do you annoy others by over-apologizing or by never letting go of something? Do you lie awake analyzing or planning to try to be less anxious? Are you subject to endless internal debates that never resolve? Do you experience paralysis over decisions because no amount of reassurance or checking is enough? Do you often search for the one last piece of information that will finally settle a question or help you decide, and then when you find it, you realize that you are still looking for more? If your answer to any of these is yes, then this book is for you. If you repeatedly ask yourself, your friends, and experts, including Dr. Google, for reassurance, and all that checking or reassurance simply does not stick, then you are getting snared in the reassurance trap. Studies have shown that the need to know for sure, the problem many have with tolerating uncertainty, is the major reason why so many suffer from anxiety, stress, and misery. The problem with trying to know for sure is twofold. First, it is an impossible goal. Second, the need for reassurance can become excessive, all-consuming, and even torturous. It can stop you from living freely, from making both large and small choices, and from living without constant doubts. Checking to be absolutely sure can take over your life. And, as you may have already figured out, compulsively addressing your doubts with this kind of checking and reassurance doesn't make them go away. It doesn't provide the relief for which you strive. In fact, it adds to your stress and anxiety. Your efforts don't provide comfort because you are trying for the wrong solution. When you are stuck in doubt, greater certainty is not the answer. Despite how surprising and counterintuitive it may seem, your tendency to seek reassurance is more of a problem than your worry itself. The solution to your distress is to feel more comfortable and confident with uncertainty. Our message is that your present efforts are aimed in the wrong direction, and, as always, if you want to end up in a different place, you need to try a different path. In this book, you will learn how to change your relationship to the anxiety you feel when you experience doubt. You will learn how to trust yourself and be willing to accept mistakes you might make and outcomes that can be less than ideal. This might seem like an impossible task right now, but the information we give you and the shift in attitude toward uncertainty that we explain will make it possible. To overcome your exaggerated need to know for sure, you will learn how not to bow to the internal pressure to seek reassurance. Remember that knowledge is power. We believe that the information contained in this book can give you the power to set you free. Getting the most out of this book. In this book, you will learn about reassurance, what it can do, and what its limits are. If you feel immobilized by your need to know for sure, you are working very hard to avoid uncertainty. Even though the rational part of your mind knows it's impossible to avoid uncertainty, the experience of uncertainty seems intolerable. Freeing yourself will take some time and effort, but it will become easier. In chapters 1 and 2 of this book, you'll learn about reassurance, why it's sometimes productive and sometimes not, and exactly how it works. In chapters 3 and 4, you'll learn about the different reassurance traps we can fall into and the psychological and biological mechanisms that drive them. In Chapter 5, you'll learn about a profound and powerful therapeutic attitudinal shift. Chapters 6, 7, and 8 will help you to continue to hone your newfound ability to navigate uncertainty by guiding you through exposure to what you fear and the obstacles that might arise as you work to release your reassurance traps. We have written this book to be consumed from the beginning to end. Please don't just look at the last few chapters, because our intention, right from the start, is to teach you an entirely new way to look at your reliance on reassurance and your need to avoid uncertainty. Additionally, many of you who are caught in the reassurance trap may not realize it, or you may recognize one obvious kind of trap, but not realize that you are in several other, more subtle ones as well. You might see yourself as extra cautious, analytic, needing to figure it out, just plain afraid, or maybe neurotic or dependent. You might even think you have a memory problem, jealousy, hypochondria, or insecurity. We provide realistic examples derived from our clinical experience to help you identify your own self-defeating pattern of reassurance seeking. A new attitude will release you. Most of our distress about uncertainty is caused by the effort to fight uncertainty with reassurance. And you can have a much more fulfilling and gratifying life with much less anxiety and worry when reassurance takes its proper place. We will show you that most of your anxiety and distress is caused less by uncertainty in your life and much more by your efforts to fight uncertainty and try to know for sure. This book can help you lift that burden. Chapter 1, The Limits of Reassurance. There are times when you feel hesitant or unsure about something, so you seek a bit of reassurance. And it works. Then there are other times when you become so overwhelmed with the need to know for sure that you are making the right decision, or evaluating something properly, or not taking an unacceptable risk, that no amount of reassurance seems enough. Most of the time, about most things, you don't feel trapped. So why are you sometimes trapped in endless loops of worry and reassurance, and other times not? To answer this important question, we need to first discuss normal reassurance. In this chapter, we will explain the profound difference between helpful and unhelpful reassurance, and why it sometimes works and sometimes becomes a trap. Sometimes reassurance sticks, sometimes not. Have you ever noticed that sometimes reassurance sticks and sometimes it doesn't? For example, you might hear that your next-door neighbor just bought a car and got a great deal on it. Suddenly, you become concerned that you did not get a good enough deal on the car you just bought. You check a few websites and find out that it was probably about as good as you could get, more or less. That ends the issue. No more checking. A few more examples. You put on an outfit and wonder if it looks okay. You check the mirror, wish that you'd lost a few pounds, tell yourself it's fine, head out the door, and don't think about it again. Or you have a thought that you might have forgotten to pay a bill. You check once and see that you did. No recurring doubts. These examples may seem trivial, but sometimes reassurance sticks with very important issues, too. We are both psychologists who specialize in treating people with anxiety disorders, and patients often come into our offices after having a frightening panic attack. Their doctors have already told them they have no medical issues, but are suffering from acute anxiety. We agree that they aren't dying, they aren't having a stroke or a heart attack, they don't have cancer, and they aren't losing their minds or going crazy. We reassure them by giving it the right name, a panic attack, and explain what it is, how it happens, and why it is not dangerous. They immediately feel relieved, sometimes to the point of not having any more panic attacks, and they learn to not fear anxious sensations. Within weeks of starting therapy, they rate themselves as much improved. For other patients, though, research and fact-finding and explanations just don't do it. They come to us after a series of panic attacks. They also have gone to their doctor and been reassured that they are not suffering from any serious illness. We give them the same information. Anxiety is the culprit. This is a panic attack, and it is harmless. However, the reassurance just doesn't stick. Each time they feel their heart thumping or experience odd sensations, they run to the doctor for additional reassurance. Uncertainty and doubts resurface, causing additional anxiety and worry. They struggle in therapy, having additional panic attacks and increased anxiety, never really making peace with their doubts. How can I know for sure that I'm not having a heart attack? I need a second or third opinion. Their anxiety attacks continue unabated, and they run from doctor to doctor, therapist to therapist, trying to find out for sure what ails them. They make no progress and continue to search for reassurance. Here is another example. Sometimes, frightening thoughts can respond to one informational reassurance, and sometimes not. A patient of Dr. W. reported that she was terribly distressed by the fact that pop-up mental images of her prior boyfriend kept intruding into their lovemaking. When she was told these were meaningless symptoms of her obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, and should not be dignified with attention and analysis, they faded away on their own. On the other hand, a young man with a sudden horrifying image of having sex with his toddler cousin was so stuck on the remote possibility that he could be a pedophile that hearing, "This is just your OCD talking," was not helpful. He was avoiding children, praying for redemption, and seeking constant affirmation that he was not a pedophile. So clearly, reassurance can come in two different types. One type is productive, the other is not. To get out of the trap, it is important to understand the distinction. Productive reassurance. The productive type of reassurance is instructive. It may involve researching a topic on the internet or asking the opinions of others who are knowledgeable in an area so that you know more about it, become familiar with the possible outcomes, and find a way to plot the best course for a decision. Anxiety loves ignorance, and ignorance is reduced by facts. Productive reassurance seeking is helpful. It has the capacity to reduce anxiety if it leads you to resolve or live with whatever uncertainty remains. You settle in with credible, responsible information when you get it, so you don't find yourself looking for more and more information, more opinions, more research, to eliminate every doubt. Productive reassurance sticks. If the information source is credible, that is all you need. You can tolerate the fact that there could possibly be something you have missed. You do not have to follow every link or Google other options. Sometimes, even just one piece of information can provide complete reassurance. As an anxious child, Dr. S. convinced himself that he was having every symptom of a terrible disorder he read about in a newspaper column. If only someone had told him one fact he had missed, he would have been greatly relieved. The disorder was menopause. Helpful fact. A good rule for avoiding a reassurance trap is to limit the reassurance you seek to a single factual response from a credible source. Productive reassurance leads to an action plan. It helps guide you either to take a particular action. I worry that my child will see inappropriate websites and here is an app that gives me control over web surfing content. Or to avoid making some unfortunate decision. I worry that I might have lead paint in my house, but I found out that lead was removed from paints in 1978 and my house was built in 1991. Or to take no action at all. I had a weird thought. So what? The action or non-action is the end of the story, even if some doubts might remain. Productive reassurance can be as simple as checking once that you have your keys in your purse or that you did, in fact, respond to an email. It does not raise new questions and doubts. Most importantly, productive reassurance doesn't spin round and round. It doesn't cover the same ground over and over again. It doesn't lead to a cascade of asking other people or checking other sources or asking the same question in a different way. It progresses. It leads to an action plan. It's important to note that productive reassurance doesn't necessarily eliminate anxiety. Rather, it helps you clarify your position to see what information you might need and perhaps determine what action you might take, even if that action involves just leaving it alone and doing nothing. Here are some examples. Anxious thought. What if the pain in my stomach is cancer? Productive reassurance lets you look at the probabilities and take a responsible course of action. This might be reminding yourself that the last time you felt like this, it was a minor bug, which allows you to wait a few days to see what happens. You can tolerate the thought of the possibility of a serious illness, but you can let time pass for a while. It does not feel urgent. You don't feel frantic to get an immediate answer to the question. You have created a plan of action that you don't have to keep revisiting in your mind. Anxious thought. What if I hurt my friend's feelings? If you are concerned that you might have slighted a friend, the most direct type of reassurance is to simply ask that friend only once, if that is the case. For this reassurance to be productive, you must be willing to accept the response, despite the fact that you can never know for sure that he is telling the truth and not just being polite or avoidant. You must settle for the answer and move on. Doubts may linger, but you don't dwell on them or let them take over. You can tolerate whatever doubts remain. Anxious thought. What if the plane crashes? With a thought like this, getting the facts, for instance, that flying is just about the safest form of transportation that exists, certainly safer than driving, can be quite reassuring. It may help you make a rational decision to fly to your destination despite your worry. You have evaluated it as an acceptable risk. An important point, though sometimes difficult to grasp, is that productive reassurance does not make you feel absolutely sure about something. It's a way of making the best guess, even while knowing that it is a guess. Productive reassurance is accepted alongside whatever doubts remain. It is not followed by an urgent desire for more reassurance. So you can tell whether reassurance is productive by the way it acts, not by the content of what it tells you. Productive reassurance helps you proceed despite your anxiety and uncertainty. Being perfectly sure is not the goal. Helpful fact. Productive reassurance can't make you absolutely sure about something, but it helps you make the best guess. But there are limits to productive reassurance. If, after knowing the facts about flying, you remain unwilling to fly, this unhelpful attempt at reassurance may make it clear that your fear of flying is not a rational one, and that more facts will not help. Similarly, if you simply cannot accept your friend's response that you did not hurt her feelings, or if you keep revisiting and changing your action plan, or you are back trying to allay doubts, more facts won't help. This is evidence that what may have seemed initially to be legitimate fact-finding or problem-solving is now, in fact, a very different problem. Getting caught in a reassurance trap. Helpful fact. When you are caught in the need to know for sure, more facts won't help resolve the issue. And once we're caught in the need to know for sure, the reassurance we seek becomes unproductive. Unproductive reassurance. This type of reassurance does not lead to any reasonable action plan, and it fails to provide information that helps to resolve the issue. It doesn't stick. It is never enough. It can start out innocently enough, like asking a friend for their opinion or reassuring yourself that a thought is silly, and it easily masquerades as productive, especially at first. However, this type of reassurance is not really about fact-finding. It is about reducing anxiety and avoiding uncertainty. It offers the illusion that feeling certain is possible and that this feeling of certainty should be pursued. Unproductive reassurance is your attempt to reduce anxiety, discomfort, and distress. It allows you to pretend, and therefore to feel the relief of imagined certainty for a little while. You worry, for example, that your child might have a brain tumor because he is unusually irritable. A neighbor says, not likely. And you briefly feel better, as if your neighbor knows anything more than you do. But inevitably, the worry returns, and with it, the need to be reassured. Or you have had unwelcome thoughts about a mistake you may have made at work, and you scan your boss's facial expression for reassurance. This briefly makes you feel less uncertain, until it crosses your mind that she may have just not found the mistake yet. Another way to look at it is to understand that unproductive reassurance is a failed attempt to reduce uncertainty. Helpful fact: unproductive reassurance temporarily creates the illusion of certainty. Identifying and refraining from unproductive reassurance seeking is one way of avoiding the reassurance trap. As shown in the following figure, there are three types of unproductive reassurance: hidden reassurance, empty reassurance, and checking reassurance. Each type tries to lower anxiety, reduce worry, and address uncertainty in a slightly different way. Hidden reassurance. Hidden reassurance is your attempt to lower anxiety without making it clear to others that you are looking for reassurance. Hidden reassurance can show up in a variety of ways. It can be deduced from your own attempts to reason with yourself, or it can entail creative ways of trying to divine what others might be thinking. It can also be experienced as planning or analyzing or obsessively trying to solve a worrisome problem. It may be so automatic and habitual that you don't even realize you are seeking reassurance from someone else or from yourself. Sometimes you look for signs that what you're worried about isn't happening, hasn't happened, or won't happen in the future. For instance, you look at the technician who does your mammogram. Is she concerned or relaxed? Can the expression on her face tell you something? You are looking to be reassured, hoping to see signs that all is well. Or when your flight starts to get bumpy, you focus on the flight attendant. You are asking yourself whether he or she looks unafraid. You are looking for signs that the flight will be safe, that the turbulence won't get too severe. The attendant's calm manner allows you to feel that all will be well, at least for a moment. Sometimes looking for signs can be so subtle that you do not realize you are doing it. It may just seem like seeking feedback. If you are concerned that you have made a foolish or hurtful comment or flubbed a presentation at work, you might search for approving nods or glances from those around you. You can carefully judge the next interaction for hints of hurt or disapproval. The problem is, you are subjectively determining the reaction of others, so you can always question your own guess. You can never be sure. It is a form of mind reading, a way of asking without asking. Hidden reassurance can also masquerade as planning. For example, you might lie in bed at night trying to come up with the best possible response to any twist or turn an anticipated conversation might take. You are trying to convince yourself that you will have a good script to use that will avoid a problem or achieve a goal, no matter what the other person says or does. Similarly, you can be Escape planning for any possible thing that could go wrong, like reminding yourself where every bathroom is just in case.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?